We care about our land more than somebody down in Ottawa.
A land code puts the First Nation into the power of government.
The biggest point for me is your ability to protect your reserves lands.
Former chief of our community had the vision to sign and the guts to sign that framework agreement.
The good thing about land code, we don't have to sell it. It sells itself.
And joining me now, once again on the podcast, Andrew Bynum. Andrew, great to have you back on the show.
Nice to see you again, Richard. I always enjoy our podcasts. We have good conversations.
Well, it's certainly a great topic, and not just land code itself, but some of the offshoot things like we're going to talk about today, which is enforcement. And you're part of a big conference, June 6 to 8 in Ottawa, Gatineau. And what's the rationale? Why do you need to bring so many players together?
Well, this was actually something we wanted to do when the pandemic hit. We were planning to pull together a national conference because there's so many First Nations and so many First Nation organizations and so many First Nation legal advisors who are interested in trying to improve the enforcement of First Nation laws, that it just made sense to pull all of those experts and all of those interested in making progress together. So we were going to do that. And then when the pandemic struck, we moved to virtual discussions, trying to draw those experts and interested First Nations together, what we call the National Online Conversation on Enforcement of Indigenous Government Laws. And our website for the Lands Advisory Board and Resource Center, you can go and see some interesting conversations we had regarding enforcement. But we're very excited now, in this year, June, as you say, to finally be able to get together in person with a real group of experts who are those most interested in enforcement.
There are so many different jurisdictions involved in things like policing and prosecution in the courts. Is that the issue you're trying to deal with on a big picture level?
Let me step back and offer this suggestion. You know, and we're going to talk about it in the conference, and certainly at least the Lands Advisory Board, we've been making this point with political leaders and officials and all interested parties. You know, I think it's fair to say that there's been more and more recognition of First Nations self-government authority. The framework agreement on First Nation land management, we're well over 100 First Nations now. A lot of those First Nations have made tremendous progress with economic development, with improved governance to break away from the Indian Act and so on. But in all of this, sadly, it seems like as much as self-government and reconciliation have moved forward, there's a missing piece, which is, it's one thing to recognize the scope of First Nation lawmaking powers. It's another thing to make that effective by ensuring that those laws can be enforced, just like laws enacted by other governments in Canada. So, sadly, for many years under the Indian Act, the bylaw making powers weren't respected sufficiently, and there wasn't an avenue for enforcing those laws. So as more and more First Nations move into self-government arrangements, there's this legacy of failure, this gap in the systems for enforcement of First Nation laws. And I'll just say, you know, many of the First Nation leaders of our Lands Advisory Board have said it's a simple point. Self-government is not effective if there is no way to enforce the expectations that are set out in our laws.
Can I look at the conference, just the themes of the 3 days? Day one is all about federal, provincial action plans. And I guess maybe a naive question on my part, but are there actually any action plans out there?
We've certainly been suggesting to federal and provincial governments that it's time to move beyond discussion or raising awareness of this issue or having discussions about the problem. And a big theme right from the start in organizing the conference and when we open up the conference is to say, we want to have the conversation turn to how best do you build the solutions. So I'm hopeful that federal and provincial officials will either be able to speak at the conference about that or be able to move out of the conference with more of an action plan. Now, I will say, to their credit, there's some provincial governments which recently have enacted changes to their legislation, the legislation regarding procedural elements of enforcement of offenses, to actually expressly include a provision for First Nation laws. That's happened in Saskatchewan first and Manitoba most recently. So although there's been, you know, delay in turning to those solutions in the past, we're starting to see the emergence of the real concrete solutions that are going to make a difference.
Okay. Day two, First Nation progress on enforcement. Is this where you get into some of the success stories in communities like, I think, Dakota Whitecap and others?
Yeah, the sessions on day two will be very much forward-looking. We see emerging solutions. There will be a sharing and networking so that, you know, First Nations across the country are aware of what some examples of these initial steps forward look like. But in these same sessions, I expect that there will be a very strong discussion of what are the things that these leading First Nations are going to do next in the near term, and what are the elements they need still in cooperation with other governments and partners to make this work better. A lot of this, Richard, we've identified as pilot projects. You know, very practical attempts to just move the markers forward and learn lessons along the way. So the conference affords an opportunity to share those lessons and hopefully assist other First Nations in moving forward.
We're hoping to speak with some of those community leaders too while we're there at the conference. So it'll be great to dig a little deeper.
I think that would be great because really these are some very interesting examples of emerging success.
Day three, First Nation policing specifically. For those who aren't aware, there are actually First Nation communities that have their own police forces as opposed to using municipal, provincial, or the RCMP. Will you be digging into that in more detail?
Yeah, it's a combination of things, you know, in terms of the conversation regarding First Nation policing, because you're right. There are some First Nations communities which have either a self-administered police service or a specialized First Nations policing service, which they have access to. But there are many other communities which rely on the RCMP or the OPP. And even with First Nation policing, most police forces and personnel are overstretched and overburdened just dealing with, you know, the high risk criminal activities that they're trying to police. So part of the conversation will be turning to, well, how best can the policing of the enforcement of First Nation laws be handled? And I think part of the conversation is to understand not all First Nation laws that need to be enforced will involve the police. Just by the nature of those laws, for example, a subdivision approval law has nothing to do with police services. But on the other hand, there are laws which will involve things like trespassing or nuisance or illegal activities that harm the environment. And those, many First Nations are saying, we would like to have the assistance, cooperation, and be able to rely on access to the police when it's necessary, you know, to do that for effective enforcement. And Richard, what I think you're going to see in the conversation is there's three key elements. One, the legal construct. So is it clear that police forces have the legal authority to enforce First Nation laws? And do the police forces have the required standard protections that police typically have when they are enforcing laws. So you've got to get that legal foundation right, or it doesn't matter how friendly your relations are with the police, they can't enforce the laws. Then the second issue is sorting out, okay, if you've got the legal authority, what's the policy and practical arrangements? Which laws should be enforced by the police? What's the top priority? How do you do that well with the enforcement officers and the lands offices and the emergency management offices of First Nations? The machinery needs to be built. And then lastly, there's an elephant in the room, and we're going to make sure that the elephant is known, which is, obviously, there's a resourcing challenge. As I say, police forces are overstretched. So even if you can solve the legal and machinery issues, how do you best address those resources? And that can involve, for example, training and engaging First Nation community members who might ultimately want to, you know, be peace officers or perhaps eventually even fully qualified police officers. So, you know, what's remarkable about all of these conversations throughout the 3 days, Richard, I think you can see, it's the polar opposite of an academic discussion of the theories of enforcement. It's very much the grassroots on the ground. How do we find practical solutions to fix this longstanding problem with enforcement of First Nation laws?
I was going to say, why don't we wrap up by talking about something that seems unique, and there's some discussion around or some thought around a national coalition to work together, to explore, and to try to come up with some concrete solutions.
This is something we haven't really announced yet. It's going to be a proposal at the conference, but just something that we've been thinking about internally. You know, Richard, what's interesting is we have over 500 participants for this national conference. And the degree of interest shown by First Nations and First Nations leadership in solving this enforcement issue is really, really quite remarkable. So what we're going to suggest on day one of the conference, and it's up to First Nations leadership, certainly not me, but what we're going to suggest is that while we respect all of the different circumstances and priorities of First Nations across the country, there's a remarkable tendency for the enforcement issues to be the same, no matter the size of the First Nation or location or complexity. The basic ingredients of building more effective enforcement of laws are the same. So the suggestion or the invitation that will be offered at the conference is to form a national partnership or a national coalition amongst the First Nations which are most interested in trying to unlock practical solutions to the enforcement of First Nation laws. Right now, you know, the Lands Advisory Board is trying to meet with senior officials and ministers in Ottawa or provincially. Manitoba Kewatini, Tribal Council of Northern Manitoba, they are engaging in a lot of high-level meetings and conversations. There's a group of First Nations involved in treaty negotiations or who have treaty agreements in British Columbia doing the same thing. Whitecap Dakota and Muscadet First Nation in Saskatchewan have their pilot project. Well, what we're going to propose is, okay, since we're all interested in the same thing, while respecting the differences amongst First Nations, maybe we could all be more effective in dealing with the other governments by having this national partnership or coalition to assist in delivering our messages and arranging for the ongoing high-level conversations that are needed to drive this towards solutions. So I'm hoping that when we, you know, raise this issue at the conference, that we get a favorable reaction and very quickly move to create this powerful national partnership.
Just in closing, did you want to add anything else about what you want to see at the end of day three? when all is said and done and you walk out, conference is over, what would you like to see?
Number one, a sense of enthusiasm and optimism with a fundamental or basic message. And forgive me for, you know, sort of a funny comparison that I sometimes make, but I've said to all sorts of people when I've been talking about the enforcement of First Nation laws that, of course, this is a complex, you know, to some extent, never been done before issue, but it's not the same thing as trying to build rocket ships to travel to Jupiter. Enforcement of laws, roles for enforcement personnel, police, prosecutors, courts, even if it be First Nation courts, is not something that is an impossible task that nobody's ever done before, right? So the first issue is, I really hope that there's a sense coming out of this of momentum and progress to actually getting things done. Related to that, I hope that, you know, for the government officials and experts who are attending, that we are able to convince everyone that it's time to move towards identifying how things could be done, as opposed to concentrating on what's the problem and what can't be done and what are the barriers. If we can get those two things coming out of the conference, we'll see this issue turn radically into a success story in the future.
Oh, that's great. If you don't mind, may I include your email address in the show notes if anybody wants to follow up and check out things with you?
Absolutely, of course. And also, if we can include the general website address for the Lands Advisory Board and Resource Center, because there's some background materials on the conference and on enforcement generally on our website as well.
Good idea. Yeah. I want to thank you, Andrew, especially as you're recovering from bronchitis. It's not easy to throw on the microphone and talk this length. So great job. And thank you.
Well, I really look forward to seeing you in next week in person, and maybe we can do some further podcasts from there. But I hope this general overview has been helpful.
Andrew mentioned internet resources on the topic of First Nations law enforcement. The conference itself has a webpage. I'll put a link in the show notes. And on the Land Management Resource Center page, you can enter law enforcement in the search bar to find related content. We are off to Ottawa Gatineau next week. If you're there at the conference, please drop by our podcast booth and say hello. Love to meet you. I'm Richard Perry. Thanks for listening.